I've got a little kind of personal anecdote, I guess. So you guys might have heard this story before, but, you know, I graduated 2017 with a degree in audio. And then because, you know, I was an international student, my visa wouldn't let me kind of continue on. So it kind of like, you know, I think it was the 1st of December, I have to leave. So I try to like apply for different studies, you know, like teaching, and I literally try everything. And I got rejected by like literally every university that you could imagine. I think I applied for 3, they all said sorry, and they didn't give me any reason, actually. I try to do everything I can out of my own strength. I remember that whole month of like applying and going and driving, and it was like stressful. And then I came to a point where I just said, God, I need you, help. And then you know what God did? He sent me back home. Like, I had to go back to Burma. So I went back on the 1st of December because, you know, I couldn't keep staying here. Little did I know, that actually formed my faith in that 3 months. Because during that time, what I realized is I was trying to put my identity in music, in my education, right? But God took all of that away to help me realize that he is all that I need. God knows the root to our problems, and in his mercy, he gives us what we need. We are forgetful, but God is merciful to remind us and guide us. So even though we're forgetful, God is merciful. Also, the formatting's a little bit weird, sorry. Next point. We're not only forgetful, but we're fearful. So after sending the nameless prophet, the angel of the Lord showed up to Gideon. And by the way, anytime in the Bible it says the angel of the Lord, it's another way of saying God himself, the Lord himself, right? And if you want to know more, maybe ask Cain. Well, we can chat about it after. But what was Gideon doing at that time? He was threshing wheat in the wine press. Threshing wheat is a process of separating the grain from the straw. And it's often done out in, you know, the open, needs kind of a lot of air, a lot of wind, and it's done in a threshing floor, right? But the wine press where Gideon was at, it's a hole in the ground, literally, where they would stomp on grapes to make wine. So Gideon was trying to be discreet in the hole because he was afraid that the Midianites might come and take all the grains. You can read the story, right? So the first thing that God said to me, and I love how you portray Cain of Gideon, like, oh, Lord, right? Like, it's like, I'm scared. And the first thing that God said was, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. In another translation, it says, men of valor, right? Someone with great courage in the face of danger. It doesn't really look like that, does it? Like, is God being sarcastic? I think as I kind of like read, you know, past this point, he does become someone that's courageous, I guess. God sees something in us, what the world and even ourselves don't see. So if you look at Gideon in that moment, he's trying to do things while hiding. And not only once, if you read past it, it says, again, Gideon was given a task by, you know, the Lord to cut down the altar to Baal, right? And the Asherah pole, put it all down, which are idols, right? In verse 27, Gideon took 10 of his servants and went there at night, meaning he didn't even do it during the day because he was scared. And he didn't even do it by himself. He took 10 other servants with him to do this, right? So this person who God is saying, courageous man of, you know, valor, he was just a cowardly man. Because he was afraid of his family, because his father is the caretaker of the idols and the townspeople. And I think rightly so, right? And you'll see in the story that they started kind of railing against Gideon. And I think Gideon's very relatable. There's a famous quote that I've kind of heard, you know, around. Courage is not an absence of fear. It's a willingness to act in spite of fear, right? And I don't know if you guys heard that quote, probably. But I think the quote is missing one thing, which is the motivation behind acting courageously. The reason why Gideon was able to do brave things in the face of fear, if you read it, it's because of his trust in the Lord. It's because of God's faithfulness. That's a fourth point, I guess. We're fearful, but God is faithful. God keeps telling Gideon, I'll be with you. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die. And God did held up his side of the bargain. And Gideon held on to what God said in verse 23, peace, don't be afraid. You're not going to die. And that's when, Gideon went out to destroy the idols, built the altars for God. So that's kind of like, has anyone read that before tonight, by the way? And has anyone not read that before tonight? Cool. Awesome. I'm kind of like that too. When I read it, I think I've skimmed through it, but I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. So I guess real courage, right? It's not just doing despite having fear, but real courage comes from holding on to God's word and knowing that he is faithful. Real courage comes from holding on to God's promises and knowing that he is faithful. Because we're fearful, but God's faithful, right? Our courage as Christians doesn't come from what we can do, but by holding on to God's promises for us. Because even though we're fearful people, God is faithful in his promises. Next point, we are fearful, but God is faithful. Also, we're also skeptical. I think in the modern Western world, us, we have been taught this thing called critical thinking, right? We don't have that where I came from. Like, literally, I would have to like memorize essays that the teacher wrote. And then that's my exam, right? So I think along with critical thinking, there are many good things, don't get me wrong, but I think we have also become a generation that is quite skeptical. And it's quite interesting because I was, processing this with Joyce and she's like, yeah, you sure? There's like a lot of skepticism, right? Well, Gideon was given crazy signs like food burning up and the angel of the Lord disappearing, all that stuff happened to Gideon. But Gideon still needed more signs from the Lord, from God. Gideon thinks the task before him is so impossible that he wanted to make sure that God was with him. Because God said in verse 16, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. That sounds impossible to Gideon. I think we like that sometimes, actually. Sometimes we struggle with promises from God, like there's no more condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, Sometimes we actually struggle to believe that and we condemn ourselves, trying to strive for God's approval. Or we just read the Lord's Prayer, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. I think that's really hard stuff to forgive someone. Well, Gideon heard from God that God will use him to strike the enemies, but Gideon thinks it's impossible. He's skeptical. So Gideon did the famous placing wool fleece on the threshing floor story. We all know the story, right? Like, we just read it too. If not, I'll quickly recap. First, he asked God, if it's your will, please make the ground dry and the fleece wet. And secondly, he said, just to make sure that that's you, God, can you do the reverse? And that comes to our sixth point. We're skeptical, but God is patient. God was faithful and kind, and he fulfilled what Gideon asked for. Has anyone done that before, by any chance? Placing the fleece before the Lord? Can I? Interesting. If you come to my side of town, it'll be everyone, not sure about here, but it's a very common term back in my home church. Just place the fleece before the Lord, See what God will say, right? Find the will of the Lord. And then you would say things like, God, if this is you, make someone wear red to church so I know it's you, right? Or like, get some, I actually have a really funny, not funny actually. It's a pretty serious story. But this is kind of, I want you guys to know, that's kind of the community, the people that I kind of hang out with. So there's one guy, he was suicidal. And he was just like, I think at a 7-Eleven. And he was just like, God, if you're real, make someone do a handstand there. And then, true story, this guy, one of my mates, he basically felt like God wanted him to do a handstand, so did a handstand. And it's weird, right? And look, and I'll get to this. I think hearing all of this, I think it begs the question, should we place a fleece before God? You know, should we follow Gideon's example? Well, remember, okay, especially in the book of Judges, it's just recounting what happened without endorsing nor encouraging others to follow. Like, Judges is an account of what happened, not what should happen or what we should do, right? So let's quickly recap the story of Gideon. I'm on my last point. Apparently that helps with, anyways. So Gideon had a sign already before, with the food burning up, the angel of the Lord disappearing. Also, Gideon had already obeyed the Lord half by demolishing the altar. No, even though he went at night with 10 servants. And then he asks for more signs, not just once, but twice. And they're not just any signs, right? They're like miraculous signs. Like, I don't know if you've tried to put your clothing out at night and ask God to, you know, make them dry. Like, it's not an easy sign, I guess. So all of that, if I were to give an example, imagine I told Joyce, my wife, hey, I've cooked you dinner, you know? And she keeps saying, are you sure it's clean? You know, are you sure you didn't put any poison, right? Are you sure you're not going to charge me for this? Or like, prove it to me by eating while you're doing a cartwheel. I don't know. I would be pretty shocked if she asked me those questions, right? Because as my wife, she should know me better than that, right? But what's happening with Gideon and the Israelites at that time is that Gideon was actually questioning the character of God. Because the Israelites have forgotten about God so deeply that neither Gideon nor the generation that is around him knew God. Gideon was skeptical, but God was patient with him. So to answer that question, should I do a handstand? Should I do a fleece, right? In Judges, I don't think it's very clear, but that's not the main point of the story. And also, we can look at a similar story in the New Testament, actually. So in John 20, if you want to go there, you can. Thomas, one of the disciples, said, I won't believe Jesus is alive until I touch the mark on his hand from the nails, right? And then Jesus showed up and said, place your fingers here, touch my hand. And then Jesus said, have you believed because you have seen me? Well, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So in both cases with Gideon and Thomas, God knew what both Gideon and Thomas needed. He is patient with both of them. Gideon went on to defeat the enemies in the most bizarre ways. I'm looking forward to hear from Cain. And Thomas went, from the accounts, he went to India, where there are thousands of gods. God gave them what they needed, even though they were immature in their faith. So to answer that question, I think the answer is God cares most about your relationship with him, and he will meet you where you're at. So let's recap then, right? We're forgetful, but God is merciful. We're fearful, but God is faithful. We're skeptical, but God is patient. So friends, I would want to leave you guys with this. How do we know the will of God, right? Because when we think about the story of the fleece, it's often attached to knowing the will of God. You know, like, just God, show me, you know, that's like, all of that's attached to that, right? Well, my encouragement is read the word of God and start to get familiar with God's character. The reason why Gideon needs so much help is because they have fallen so far from knowing God that they don't know the character of God anymore. So Gideon had to keep asking God, prove it to me, right? So this is one of my favorite verses, actually. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 to 19. I think I got that wrong. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for that is the will for you in Christ Jesus. When you forget God and worries surround you, because we're forgetful, rejoice, right? Remember where God has taken you in the past. Rethink of the joys, rejoice. Second, when we're afraid because we're fearful people, pray without ceasing. Put your reliance in God. And lastly, but not least, when you're doubting God, when you have skeptical mind, remember that, remember God's goodness. And remember how good he is to you in the past and his goodness around you, and that gratitude will help you through it. And an easy way to remember this, I find, is RPG, you know, like the RPG. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Why don't I pray? Heavenly Father, God, we want to know you more and more. We want to know your character. We want to know your love. We want to know who we are in you and how you see us. So God, I pray that in areas where we are fearful and we're afraid, I pray that you would give us your promises and your word so that we can stand firm. In areas where we are doubtful and skeptical, God, I pray that you would give us just your evidence, the evidence of how good you are. And God, when we forget you, I pray that, yeah, may we be reminded of you, by you, and that our faith will be reignited, if that's us. So I just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.